morning. Thank you. Thank you, Brian. That was wonderful. Welcome to Mountain View United Methodist Church. I'm Joanne Joslin. I would like to point out some things in the bulletin for you. First of all, I'd like to acknowledge the flowers that are on our altar. Today marks the David and Jenny Askey's 38th wedding anniversary. We thank you for that. And then last week it was Steve and Beth Warren in honor of their children. So we're always happy to have flowers on our altar. The important thing coming up is that next week is a combined summer service that begins. And it's going to be just one service at 10 o'clock. So please come and join us then, and we'll celebrate the summer. There's not too much happening this week. You get a memorial. Oh, 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock, one service beginning next Sunday. Please notice the other things coming up in June. Lots of things happening. We're going to get to start our clothing collection. There's the Vacation Bible School, Bridge of Love coin collection. Wow, we'll meet June 9th, and it doesn't say so, but the solos will meet on June 5th. We'll get that information in the bulletin next time. I think at this time we'd like to have Jim Rhodes come up and talk to us about the Permanent Endowment Fund.
As is its custom, the Permanent Endowment Committee is reporting this Memorial Day Sunday on the grants it has awarded for 2019. Money, by the way, for these grants is made available by earnings from Mountain View's Permanent Endowment Fund, and this fund, in turn, is the result of contributions and bequests from Mountain View members and friends. And as you can see from the insert in your bulletin, we welcome all donations directed to the Permanent Endowment Fund. This year, five grant requests were received, and all received funding. The combined total of the amount of the grants is $4,347 this year. This money is to go toward preliminary work on a proposed church and community program series, completion of a signage project begun in 2018, purchase of electric and manual can openers for the church kitchens, a UMW Strangers as Neighbors study group, and new microphones and a new keyboard for our praise band, Head for Home. For more detail about these grants, check next month's messenger. And now, please stand and greet one another, including the words, "May the peace of God be with you." Thank you.
And if you would please, good morning, join us with our congregational introit, "Christ is Alive." Christ Christ is alive and comes to bring good news to this and every age, till earth and all creation ring with joy, with justice, love, and peace.
Let us pray together. Holy and gracious God, thank you for ringing through our lives, waking us up this morning to bird's song and to the lives that surround us. We ask that your presence be fully known here. May it be a tune, a harmony, a grace note in our lives that we might sing out in the world going from this place. We come to worship, O God. We come to worship you. Amen. Will you stand as we sing our opening hymn together? Be seated, and I'll invite the kids to come forward. Do a little quick change here, so just a second, please. Okay, guys, how's it going? So we had a big week for most of you. Most of you finished school this week, right? So we're right into summer vacation mode. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. Today we're going to actually celebrate the end of Sunday school for the school year with a picnic with some watermelon. How's that sound? Yeah, it's going to be a good time. We're going to go out in the playground and celebrate. But first I want to talk to you guys about my grandparents. Let me tell you about my grandparents. So my grandma, when I was little, kind of like most of your ages, she had this big giant tree in her front yard. And under the tree was empty, this big empty space. We could climb under the tree and have like our own fort. The tree branches came all the way to the ground, but we could go underneath and like be in our own fort. And my grandma would let us play in there. And she would give us rugs and blankets to put out there. We would kind of make our own house out there. She would let us have lunch out there sometimes and bring our toys out there. It was a pretty fun place to play. I remember that really well about my grandma, about her always letting us have picnics under her big giant tree. And then my grandpa had this super fancy car that he would let us sit in and we would pretend to drive all over the place. And me and my sisters would make up stories about places we would visit and things we would go and see in my grandpa's super fancy car. So this was when I was a little girl, and now my grandma and my grandpa are no longer with us. They died a while ago, and I miss them sometimes, right? But sometimes you think it's important for me to remember them. It makes me feel a lot better. So I think about that car that we got to sit in, and I think about that tree that we got to have big picnics under, and it reminds me of my grandma and my grandpa, and it reminds me of the love they gave me, and it reminds me of the love I gave them. And sometimes it might be a little bit sad to think about them because I can't see them anymore, but they're in my heart, right? And when I think about them, their memory stays alive for me, right? And I can share that with you guys. So I know sometimes it's really hard. Today we're talking a lot about people who might have died, or maybe your pets that might have died. And it's really hard to have people who leave us like that, right? It makes us feel very sad. But we can also be really, really happy when we remember all the fun things we did with them, right? Like the tree picnics or pretending to drive the car. Those were all really fun memories I have. So if you guys have some people in your lives that have died, or maybe you have a pet that has died and you've had to bury your pets, it's okay to be sad, right? We all feel sad sometimes, right? But you guys have your families that are here with you now. You guys have your friends. You have each other, and you have God. So when things feel really hard and you're really sad and you're really missing somebody, you can go to God and say, God, thank you for that person and for giving them to me in my life. Help me to not miss them so much. Help me to not be so sad. Help me to remember them, right? Can we do that, you think? Okay, it's a tough thing to do, isn't it? It's no fun when that kind of stuff happens. But we got God, we got each other. We can get through it, right? Should we say a prayer? You guys all bow your heads. Say, hey, God, thanks so much for your love. Help us to use that love when we feel sad and when we miss people. We love you, God. Thanks for loving us. Amen. Okay, we're going to go downstairs first, guys, and we'll go outside. There you go. Whoops.
So, as Larissa shared with us, we have the power of memory and the power of the people that are in our memory to recognize God and God's love in times when we least expect it and when in times when we most need it. As a part of this Memorial Day Sunday weekend service, in correlation with the permanent endowment gifts that are given, we also have a tradition of remembering those who have passed before us, those saints that have gone before us that we remember. And these are the names that we have been able to collect since last Memorial Sunday. And we recognize that it might not be exhaustive. You might have other folks in your mind, dear ones, that you have lost, but that we don't have names for. We also recognize that this Memorial Day Sunday is a time when, back since the Civil War, we remembered those who fought in war, offered their life in service. And we honor these people because of what they offered of themselves. We honor these people because they are brothers and sisters alongside us. So whether or not you agree with where or how or why they went where they did in military service, we recognize that they did go and that they offered all that they were in very vulnerable ways, in very dangerous places. And so you will have people in your memory. We have service men and women, their families, the administration, that we remember today as part of this celebration. So that's kind of how we'll live into our time of prayer today. But I also want to be able to collect those prayers that you hold dear to you. What are the things that are bringing you delight? What are the things that are keeping you up at night? What should we pray for today? Yes.
We're delighted to announce that we have a new grandbaby, Lila, Laura,
So Steve's newest granddaughter, Lila Gloria. Yay. Thank you for that announcement. Yes, Stephen.
2 weeks ago, I forgot to give a concern. My boss had a baby born five weeks early, and she picked up MRSA. But today is a joy because she's doing very well. She's everything checked out, and she should go home very soon.
Great. What's her name?
That's a great question.
So baby Lee, in our midst, contracted MRSA while she was in the hospital as a newborn, but is now going home soon, recovering from that. So thank you for that prayer, Stephen. Others that you would lift up. Yes, Stephen.
My daughter, Abby, went away from home for a week.
Hmm.
And they brought her back safe and sound from a wonderful trip in Washington, D.C.
Great. Abby went to D.C. and she came back, so we're grateful. Yes, Francis.
24 years ago tomorrow, Pat and I welcomed our first great-granddaughter.
Yay. So
she's getting old.
We won't tell her that. Today is a great day for birthdays. Francis' daughter, granddaughter 24 years ago. We're celebrating Lydia's third birthday today. Skip Strickland turned a little older than three today. And there's, and then the celebration of anniversaries, there's lots of life to be excited about. So thank you for sharing. Yes, Bonnie. Happy to see Sharon with us. Amen. Amen. We also lift up Richard De La Vega and his family. His niece passed away this week, and so they're out of town at that funeral, so I ask that you keep the De La Vegas and his family in your prayers. There are others that are listed in your bulletin, and I welcome you to and invite you to hold those people in your prayers as you pray throughout the week and throughout today. There's lots to give us joy, and there's lots where we need recovery and healing from those places of hurt. So that's why we pray together as a community. And today we will do so with a prayer out loud and then in reading of the names that we memorialize. So let's go to God in prayer. Holy and gracious God, we are so grateful for this day that we can gather together and we recognize those places of joy, those places of friends and loved ones among us, of celebrations of birthdays and anniversaries that remind us of the year gone by and so much to come. We thank you for the ways that you are using and calling people forth out of their lives to both remember those who have gone before them and honor them in such ways that new ministry happens. We thank you for the beauty of the music that could come from those places. We also recognize, God, that there are people among us, even in our own hearts, that are heavy with grief, uncertainty, transitions, thresholds yet to be crossed. And we honor those. We ask that your song not be muted in those moments. And when they are, remind us that your song continues so that when we're able and when we are ready, we can hear your song with vibrancy. We ask that you take us with courage and boldness. Take us through your Holy Spirit into the world, providing a harmony to your song. Help us be in tune with you enough that when others hear us, see us, encounter us, they encounter the melody that you have set forth. We pray all of this as we ring out your love in our life, the recognition of your presence among us, and the tender way that you hold all of us including your saints who have gone before us. And so it's in their memory that we read their names out loud this morning. Jean Barker, Barbara Bergen's brother Chuck, Steve Burchard's sister-in-law, Susie Burley's aunt Janie, Joni Calhoun's brother Rob, and sister-in-law Jackie Davis. Susan Carl's mother, Robin Chavez's uncle, Betty Eller's sister, Hugh Evans' sister, Tony Gray's father, Dick Habighorst's niece, Darcy. Charles Jenkins, Jill Moore's mother, Cherise Moritelli's father, Walter, Gail Madden, Margaret Martin. Dale and Joanne Mattson, Jim Pettibone, Tom Fair's mother, June, Evelyn Ruka, Shelley Schottiger's aunt, Colleen Tuttle, Warren Smith's brother, Lauren. Chris Swift's mother, Jean Wainwright's son Jack, and granddaughter Breck, Jana Wynette's father-in-law, Justin Zato's grandmother, Fraser and Jen Thompson's son Liam. For the names we know but have not been spoken aloud, we lift them up in memory. And now, in a moment of stillness, O God, we ask that you hear the prayers that are on our hearts and minds. May the legacy of those who've gone before us, of our own lives, and of your Son, Jesus Christ, remind us of love and love everlasting. It is through and from Jesus that we pray with one voice, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Will you stand as you're able to sing our centering hymn?
Oh,
Thank you. You may be seated. Please join me in the scriptural meditation on the screen and in your bulletin. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. The scripture is from John 14, verses 23 through 29. Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my word, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe." The word of God. Thanks be to God. The word of God for the people of God. That's you. Yeah, thank you.
There's quiet love flowing.
Well, happy fifth Sunday after Easter, everyone. You know, in the church calendar, we are celebrating Easter from Easter Sunday all the way up until Pentecost. So it's actually happy Easter for the sixth time. And I think if Lydia figures this out, who turns 3 today, she might start asking for a whole birthday season. 7 weeks in a row, please, right? So anyway, it is so important that we continue to remember and celebrate the reality of the risen Christ, the power available, the wisdom fulfilled, and freedom offered to us as believers. Pastor Steve and I sometimes use the lectionary to give us passages of scripture to preach on for the week. And this is a source of material that would enable us to go through the whole Bible throughout the whole year. And so today, when I looked up the lectionary passage, I was a little bit taken aback that we were going back in time, that we were going back to the upper room, back to the Last Supper, before the resurrection, before Easter. And for 4 chapters, Jesus gives a farewell address. And instead of just saying goodbye and watching a cute slideshow with beautiful pictures and silly bloopers, right? Jesus actually looks ahead. Jesus is preparing a group of people for something they can't fully understand, much less see a need for. Even though they didn't know they needed the Messiah like Jesus, instead of one riding in on a white horse, blazing sword in hand, the disciples and even us today have been given the best through God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. In John 14, Jesus outlines the way the Holy Spirit, the advocate, will be with them and for them even after he's gone. The New Testament professor, Osvaldo Vena, sums up what we can expect and starts all the way back in chapter 14, verse 17. The Spirit of truth will in many ways be an actualization of Jesus' presence. Jesus will come back to the community, and the community will see him. But this will be a revelation that only the group of believers will receive. Now, Jesus' farewell message here starts in response to one of the disciples' questions about how it is that Jesus will reveal himself to them. The answer is love. It is love that unlocks the secret of Jesus' presence in the post-resurrection era. This love is with us and for us forever. And we recognize this love as the Holy One when we are in union with Jesus. And so this reality causes me to ask a question. How do our dear ones, those who are with us now, and those saints that have gone before us, that cloud of witnesses, inform us with their various forms of love? How do those that we remember for deeds and thoughts, inspiration and wisdom, affirmation and hope, reveal themselves to us in the daily life and our present day? And how do they exemplify this spirit of love, especially when they're gone from our sides? This question has elicited my thought about heaven and my current imaginations of what that would be like. Now, I recognize heaven is a bit of a squirrely idea, and it will take on as many iterations as there are people in this room, possibly more, depending on if you've changed your mind a couple times. I changed my mind. I used to think that heaven was a frisbee field where my AP Calc class and I would throw the frisbees around. I was a nerd, but I thought, you know, we wouldn't have to be measuring parabolas. We could just toss a frisbee. But my image has changed from that time a little bit. It is more of an abstract painting now than it is a slow motion reel of a frisbee game. Heaven for me is the complete encounter of love. The love of God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit as they express it to each other, through each other, and toward all of creation. It's also the encounter of love as manifested in those I knew and cared for on earth. Now, my dear Granny June passed away 13 years ago, but I still remember her tight gray curls and piercing blue eyes and her soft arms. And while I can imagine that in my mind right now, the image of heaven for me sees us encountering one another as warm love, one warm love embracing another warm love post-death. Crafting a vision of heaven holds no immediate weight for us except for the understanding of timing. If heaven is later, or if heaven is present now, speaks a great deal of how we will live and interact with one another, as well as God the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. In fact, the incarnation of Jesus turns the idea of heaven, God's domain, peace everlasting, and the presence of the Holy on its head. The coming of the Father and Jesus to dwell with believers shows God's love, heaven on earth. Earlier in the 14th chapter of John, Jesus uses the phrase, "We will make our home with them in God's house where there are many dwelling places." Now, I don't know how you've heard that before, but to me it sounds like a zoning plan for heaven. Wide streets, tall mansions, right? Lots of rooms. And sometimes people have interpreted it as Jesus' second coming. But the Gospel of John doesn't reference the second coming anywhere else. So theologian Charles Talbert offers a different idea of this passage in John. The Father's house, he believes, is a reference to the Jerusalem temple. And since the writer of John knows Jesus as the new temple, in my Father's house is an alternative way of saying in me. In my Father, in us. The fact that we follow Jesus, find existence through God, and are enlivened and emboldened by the Holy Spirit as a way of existing in our very skin and everyday life is actually a response to the imbued nature of Christ in us and us in Christ. What I mean is that if we recognize ourselves in Christ, and you can call it various names, the universal Christ, Alpha Omega, eternal life. When we live in Christ through our actions, words, thoughts, and relationships, we can do that every moment, now and always. In Christ is both an act that we live through ourselves, but especially in community. It can't be done in a vacuum. So perhaps when we take our imaginations of heaven and being in Christ, we can then cultivate it here, as Jesus said it could be. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, Apostle Paul tried to capture and articulate these words in a letter to the Galatians. He wrote, "I live now not with my own life, but with the life of Christ who lives in me." The Message translation gives it a little context by saying, "I have been crucified with Christ. My ego is no longer central. It is no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion, and I'm no longer driven to impress God. Christ lives in me. The life you see me living is not mine, but it is lived by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." I so appreciate this reinterpretation of John's line from Jesus, who says, "There's a home with many dwelling places." It moves the interpretation from heaven as a paradise somewhere out there far away and in the future after our death. And it again asks us to clarify our understanding of what, who, when, and why. What is the house? I believe it's the very heart of God, the essence of love. Who is welcome? All of creation. When are the doors open? Now and always. And why? Because that is the true expression, the fullness of hospitality and gracious love. The Holy Spirit plays a unique role in the lives and hearts of the beloved children of God. And this is why Jesus wanted to share with the disciples who would be coming as their advocate. The role of the Holy Spirit is detailed in verse 26, where it said, "The Spirit will remind the community of the things Jesus taught them, and it will teach them new things. In fact, all things as they pertain to the future of the believers. It will guide the believers into the truth and to all the truth." Jesus said to his disciples, "I am the truth, the way, and the life." It's a bold statement that takes on new meaning post-resurrection. So Jesus needs the Holy Spirit to reveal the meaning and importance of this statement. By the Spirit's guidance, this truth of Jesus is contextualized to new situations by inspired, Spirit-filled community. In other words, the truth is incarnated in particular ways for particular contexts. The truth of Jesus' incarnation looked differently to the first century Jews as it looks to 21st century Coloradans. I was thinking about what this looked like in my own life, and it caught me that this Wednesday I will serve at the family memorial of Joanne Mattson. She is a member, she and her husband were longtime members here at Mountain View, and we had celebrated her husband Dale, Maddie Mattson's life just last August. So in the intervening time with Joanne, I remember her talking about her dear one and how Maddie loved her and expressed so much joy. And after 70 years of marriage, you can't help but know a person like that, right? But Maddie had a huge heart. After Pearl Harbor, he enlisted in the Army Air Corps, which would then become the Air Force. And he served in World War II as a P-38 Lightning fighter pilot. Following the war, he brought back that heart of service and care for others and took it to a clothing store on University Hill. And there he would become a great employer. In fact, during his memorial service, we had an open mic, and I remember rows of former employees sitting there, beaming and standing up to tell stories of how Mr. Mattson had cared for them in the hardest of times, had even helped pick out their suit for the next job interview. Maddie cared for his employees, he cared for the patrons, he offered himself to the community of Boulder and especially to CU sports teams, including the football team. Before NCAA could catch him, he took the football team out to dinner over and over and over again. This was love incarnated in a saint that had gone before us. Now, in a strange way, I discovered a podcast that does the same thing. Pop Culture Happy Hour is a podcast that I started listening to, and it is so far from the knowledge that I hold in my head, let me tell you. So it has become a new fun exploratory path that every time I listen to it for their ending segment, which is, "What is making us happy this week?" And they go on to talk about the books and the music and the movies and the ways they're interacting with their families to see pop culture. And I have found that more music and more shows to watch with Mac, more insights into creative people and perspectives on global trends that can actually enlighten us than I ever would have imagined listening to a podcast, especially on a topic that is so foreign to my unpop-cultured brain. This is a place that interprets God's truth in today's context. And without bringing up my kids again, I'm going to bring up my kids again. And that is to say that I see God's love incarnated in Lydia and Spencer. Lydia is such a great big sister, in part because she tries to get her brother to laugh as much as possible. And in making him laugh, it makes her laugh. And it's this continuous cycle of giggles that we all fall into. This is an expression of God's love here in my context right now. I bet you have your own perspective of that contextualized truth. I bet you have the people and experiences around you that make you smile or remind you of that love. And perhaps you also hold a saint in your memory who contextualized love and grace and the Holy Presence so well in life that it continues to be the voice inside you that wakes you and shows you those realities even now. Who is that person? What are they pointing to? The gospel passage expresses Jesus' farewell message and prayer, alluding to what he knew of the cross and resurrection, but no one else could fully comprehend or predict what he meant. Being on this side of history, having celebrated Easter a time or two, we might have a better inkling, a better suspicion of what Jesus was saying. Jesus wasn't a fortune teller, but instead he was in tune with God through quiet, through prayer, reading scriptures, asking questions, and intentional loving union. He realized the creative, natural pattern of dying to bring life. When I think of resurrection and eternal life, this experience gives me ways to imagine the power of new beginnings. Not created out of nothing, but built from legacy and life poured into a person that will carry him and her on to a new place, perhaps even a new way of life. This experience of resurrection is not limited to Jesus 2,000 years ago. We can encounter and become aware of resurrection in our own lives. Perhaps you've had to stop a project despite the years of dreaming, hard work, convincing others that it was worthwhile, the financial investment and all the energy that you gave to make it success possible. Maybe a marriage or a relationship is pulling, maybe even tearing apart, leaving hurt, anger, shame, and consequences in all aspects of life. Maybe an illness is trying to claim your identity and your days, possibly limiting, even ending hopes you had for your future. Resurrection can come to all of these places. It's not a reboot, like a computer restarting back in a safe, older mode. It's instead like a seed that has left its origin point, got buried, and pushes up, vulnerably emerging as something new, perhaps even different or unexpected and unfamiliar context of place and time. The power and fuel, motivation and energy that is imbued at the core of this seed, at the core of your very soul, at the heart of the universe is love. Love becomes and pushes forth even after death. Love reveals what's next through contextualized truths and paths forged by generations before. Love links a community. Love is a community, the Trinity and the fullness of all creation. Love enables a way of life to be. Love becomes the way of life. Love as the eternal reality is present in the saints, in heaven, memories, and even now. Love is serving our country in dangerous places and building up employees. Love is visiting someone who is sick and starting again after a failed attempt. Love is being vulnerable enough to make someone laugh and giggle in return. The divine took the initiative, and we respond to that love. We respond, maybe even with more love, that will mark and affect the generations to come. Will you pray with me? God for us, we call you Father. God alongside us, we call you Jesus. God within us, we call you Holy Spirit. You are the eternal mystery that enables, enfolds, and enlivens all things, even us even me. Every name falls short of your goodness and greatness. We can only see who you are in what is. We ask for such perfect seeing, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. Amen.
We express our love for the work of Jesus Christ in many ways, but certainly in the gifts that we offer at this time. The prayer of thanksgiving today, Lord, is in context of all the love that you have shared with us. Love before we knew it. Love in the midst of life. Love at the end of life and beyond. We live in this day-to-day love, and in this we have our salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Won't you be seated, and with those who are joining with us today, especially Edric and Carrie, come forward at this time. And little one. Nora is coming as well. Anybody else who'd like to join? We're welcoming you at this hour. Edric and Nora, Carrie and Nora come this morning to be a part of Mountain View with their own religious experience, and we honor that experience as we ask all of us to renew our pledge of faith and promise of support of the Church of Jesus Christ. Do you reject all that's evil and repent of your own sins and accept the freedom and power that God gives you to resist evil in the world? If so, we say, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior and put your whole trust in his grace and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church with Christ is open to all peoples? If so, we say, I do. According to the grace given to you, will you keep God's holy will and commandments? Will you remain a faithful member of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? If so, we say, I will.
I will.
And as members of Christ's universal church and this particular congregation of the United Methodist Church, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness? If so, say, I will.
Edric comes to us by transfer from which church?
Bay Lake United Methodist.
Bay Lake United Methodist Church in?
Virginia Beach.
Virginia Beach. And Carrie, you come by transfer from?
Not United Methodist Church, but from a Catholic church.
From the Catholic Church in?
In Leesburg, Virginia.
In Leesburg, Virginia. We recognize your faithful experience and look forward to nurturing you in this community of faith.
Members of the Household of Faith, it is our joy to be able to recognize and welcome new members, and in so doing, we commit ourselves and remember our own commitment to membership. So let us respond together with these words. We rejoice to recognize you as members of Christ's Holy Church and bid you welcome to this congregation of the United Methodist Church. With you, we renew our vows to uphold prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. With God's help, we will so order our lives after the example of Christ that, surrounded by steadfast love, you may be established in the faith and confirmed and strengthened in the way that leads to life eternal.
Amen. It's my privilege to extend to you the right hand of Christian fellowship, to welcome you in our midst. This is a great group of people. I want you to meet some really great people. Following the service, they'll be in the narthex and able to make your acquaintance. Welcome. What is a way for us to recognize as a...
All right, brothers and sisters, will you stand as we... we're going to sing next, I think, right? Let's sing together. They would know we are Christians by our love.
Christ.
brothers and sisters in Christ, beloved, know that as you go from this place, you go with the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, and God with you, exuding their love within you so that that tune, that song, that beauty might be expressed in the world. Know that that is how you are made and how you can live. Go with God's peace and grace this day and always. Amen.